It is indeed a joy to be with you today. I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters across this Central Pennsylvania Conference. 800 churches. You are a part of that large group of people, and beyond that, throughout the United States and the world, over 10 million people who are professed as United Methodist. So it's a special joy to be with you today. Let us pray. Oh God, it is indeed a privilege to be here in this place, to worship you, to know that Christ has come, Christ is coming, and Christ lives in our hearts. May this be a time in which we are reminded again of the power of your light and your love in our lives. May the words that are spoken give glory and honor to you, and may that which we find in our hearts reveal to us the truth of your power. Amen. God reaches into the ordinary and makes it extraordinary. We are each of us very ordinary, are we not? From dust we are created. And yet, when God's Spirit lives in our lives, we become extraordinary. Each one of us gifted, particularly gifted, to acknowledge those gifts, to let them flower and grow, to recognize the Spirit of Christ that lives in us, is to become the extraordinary people God has created us to be. That happened to some dear people that I know, Jaime and Ilda Cabrera, were sitting in their house one day when they heard a knock at the door. When they answered the door, they were met by a young man, a little boy, 9 or 10 years old, who asked for bread. They invited him in, as they talked with him further, they discovered that not only was he hungry, his whole family was starving. They gave him food to eat and food to take to his family. And when he left, they got on their knees and prayed to God. What is it God would have them do? They received a very clear message: start a church. That wasn't at all the message they expected to receive. Jaime and Ilta are in their 70s. They had spent their lives working in La Paz, Cochabamba. In addition to the work that they did, they were very active in their church. They had retired to Cochabamba. They had been in La Paz, retired to Cochabamba, where their son and daughter-in-law lived. The weather was better there. They could be near their family. And frankly, they could rest. And one of the things they wanted to rest from was their church work. Have you ever felt that way? They wanted to live a different kind of life. The message they did not expect that day was, start a church. They went to the small church that they're part of in downtown Cochabamba, El Salvador Methodist Church, and shared with them this vision that they'd been given by God. And that little church agreed to become the parent church for a new one on the outskirts of Cochabamba. Jack, my husband, and that happened 5 years ago. It was 4 years ago, about this time of year, February, that Jack, my husband, and I were privileged to be present for the first worship service ever in La Piedra Viva Methodist Church, the Church of the Living Stones. Now, it wasn't held in a building. Our team arrived on Saturday. This service happened on Sunday. For the previous 2 weeks, another work team had been there from North Carolina, and they had cleared the land and begun pouring the pillars that would form that church. And so we had that service on this cleared land in the bright sunlight. To our right, we could see the mountains that surround Cochabamba. And to our left, we could look down into the valley of that city. During the time, that interim of a year, Jaime and Hilda hadn't waited for a building. They began working with the community, with the women, teaching them weaving and teaching them how to market their weaving goods. They had begun bringing little children into their house and teaching them the stories of Jesus, teaching them the songs of faith. And so as we sat there in that sun, about 30 children were seated over on a bench, and they sang to us. They sang Music of the Angels. La Piedra Viva was born that day as more than a dream, as the beginning of a reality. Today, that church is built and it's active and it's bringing the word of Christ to that community. Two very ordinary people who received a vision from God and responded to that vision, and now a church is born and hope is born. We are ordinary people, but when the light of Christ begins to shine in our lives, we too become extraordinary. We become those who are Christ bearers, in whom the light of Christ shines. Jesus comes into our lives, making the impossible possible, making the ordinary extraordinary. Jesus is the one through whom all things are possible. You can tell those stories, can't you? Can't you tell the stories of people who have touched your life? The people who have perhaps been teachers, parents, friends, neighbors, people who have evoked in you that light of Christ, people in whom you've seen the light of Christ, people who have made a difference not only in your life but in their communities, in their world. You have them in this church. I've heard the stories. God touches us profoundly, magnificently, absolutely. Perhaps more importantly for us today, though, you are also ordinary people whom God is calling. And I challenge you to reflect on how God might be calling you in a new way, in a deeper way, in a more profound way. How might God be calling you to use the gifts that you have to reach into the world, a world that is so in need of our presence? How is God calling this church to make a difference in a new way? How is God calling you as God's people to use your gifts, to use all that you have, to be the people God has called you to be? Statistics tell us that in this community, 50% of the people who live here in our midst are not related to any faith community. 50% are waiting to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe me, take a trip right now over to Walmart or to any store, and you'll see that they're there. These are people you know, your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers, family members, people who are waiting to hear the good news from you of Jesus Christ. One of my favorite stories of all time is called the Rabbi's Gift. Maybe you've heard it. It's the story of a monastery in a deep woods. Once a very active, thriving monastery, it's fallen on hard times, and now there's only the abbot and four other brothers, and they're all in their 70s. It's a dying order. It happened that in those woods there was a little hut, and a rabbi from a nearby town came there often to pray. Because the monks had spent so much time themselves in prayer, they seemed to be a little psychic, and so they would know when the rabbi was in his hut. And they would say to one another, "The rabbi is here, the rabbi is here." And so on a particular day, the rabbi came, was in the hut, the brothers knew it, and they said to the abbot, "Perhaps you could go visit him and see if he has any advice for us about how we might once again become a thriving order." So the abbot went to the rabbi and called on him, and as they sat over tea, he asked him the question, "What might we do? We have fallen on such hard times." And the rabbi said, "Oh, my brother, I have no advice for you. We in the synagogue suffer from the same trouble. Fewer and fewer people are coming to services." And so they read Torah and they talked, and it came time for the abbot to leave. As they were saying a kind of tearful goodbye, he asked the question again, "Is there any advice you could give us?" And the rabbi said, "I have nothing to tell you. But there is one thing. One of you is the Messiah." Well, the abbot returned to the monastery, and the brothers were interested in knowing what he had learned. He said, "I have nothing to say. The rabbi had no advice, though he did say one cryptic thing as I was leaving. He said, one of us is the Messiah." Well, the brothers had no idea what that meant. I'm surely he didn't know what he was talking about. And so they began simply living their lives. But something had changed, and each of them found themselves thinking about that statement. And as they did, they began thinking about, well, who could it possibly be? Well, perhaps it's the abbot. He's a fine leader. Maybe he's the Messiah. If this is at all true, maybe he's the Messiah. Or perhaps it's Brother Thomas. Brother Thomas is so wise and so holy. Maybe it's Brother Thomas. It couldn't be Brother Elred. Brother Elred is so crotchety. But on the other hand, Brother Elred is often right. No way could it be Brother Philip. Brother Philip is so quiet and reticent and meek. But he's always there when you need him. Surely it couldn't be me. Could it be me? Now, as the years went by, on the off chance that the rabbi had been right, they began treating one another with more respect, and in fact, treating themselves with more respect. It happened in these deep woods that many people came to picnic because they were so beautiful, and to walk the trails, and occasionally to join the monks in service and worship. And more people came to picnic, and they brought their friends. And more came to worship. And before long, one young man came and presented himself, saying that he felt God was calling him. And another, and another, and today, that is a thriving order of monks. How is it that God calls to each of us? Is it as simple as treating one another with more respect? Is it as simple as letting God's light and love shine through us? You are the light of Christ. Christ comes into the world on this season in new ways. but not just for this season, but for all times. Jaime and Ilda Cabrera never saw that child again. Might he have been Jesus? I invite you to keep your eyes open to see Jesus. Keep your hearts open to receive Jesus. Keep your lives open to let the light of Jesus shine through you. Oh, yes, you're ordinary. But through Christ, you are extraordinary. Amen.